My father's been doing this for like probably 40 years now, so I've done it kind of my whole life.
That's PJ Russo, a Bristol quahogger.
Both my brothers and my father are quahoggers out of East Greenwich, you know. They fish out of the other side of the bay. This is a slip my dad had when I was younger, and I worked on my brother's boat a few years ago and got my license. So then I quit my old job and started doing this.
After a good breakfast, PJ Russo heads down to the harbor where his 17-foot fishing boat is moored. Once out on the water, he has to decide where to look for quahogs. Once he's made his choice, he pulls out his rake and starts scraping the bottom of the bay.
Since I started digging, I've been using that mooring as, like, my place to start my drift. So when I show up in the morning, I'll basically, just to get me in a ballpark area of where I'm comfortable catching, and I know there's a good spot where not many other people go digging.
If the spot he selects delivers, he'll stay there all day. Much of this job is just trial and error, Russo says, and you learn the bay the longer you fish it.
It's just one of those things, how much time you put in. That's why those guys that are like 70, 80 years old can still do it.
But you're not going to catch anything without the proper equipment. For starters, you need a good bull rake, essentially a rectangular basket made of metal bars attached to a pole. There's an opening on one side where a single row of metal teeth stick out. Those teeth dig through the sand at the bottom of the bay and scoop up the quahogs.
This is a rake. This is what I actually use to get the clams in the boat, you know. So I'm going to use this one today. That's the Beast. Yeah, an old Portuguese dude makes these in his basement in Tiverton. He's been doing it since I was a little kid. I remember going to his house when I was a little kid. And then, sure enough, I start doing this, and guess who you get all your equipment from? The same guy. He's just way older now.
That scratching noise is the sound of the rake scraping against the bottom, magnified up through the aluminum pole.
So what's happening now is the rake just hit the bottom. The teeth aren't really in the bottom yet.
Yep.
So by wiggling it back and forth, the more I go up and down like this, that's whipping the setup. So the rake's going like this, front to back.
The back and forth motion digs the rake into the sand, picking up the quahogs. Moving the rake side to side clears out the sand that gets caught in the rake. After about 15 minutes, Russo says it's time to pull the haul up. He pulls the bull rake out of the water, slowly revealing the cage. It's full, but when he dumps it out on the boat, it's not just clams.
So that was the first 15 minutes of work today. So we get, like, spider crabs. This is a duck's foot. It's, like, different type of clam, but the meat's, like, orange and will make you sick. Smooth conch. When this gets up a little bit bigger, they'll catch it on the conch boat. This is a moon snail. This thing kills quahogs. You can see we get some rocks here. But a decent amount of little necks.
Here's some quahog lingo. Little necks, top necks, chowders. Those are sizes of quahogs. The little necks are the smallest, maybe the size of a child's fist, no smaller than 1 inch long at its widest part. They're usually sent to restaurants and eaten raw on the half shell. Top necks are the next size up, and chowders are the largest, anywhere from a few inches to the size of a softball. Russo recently caught one that weighed in at 2 pounds. These are usually chopped up and cooked in chowder, hence the name. Size doesn't just dictate the way they're eaten. It dictates the price they fetch. And the prices, says Russo, have been falling.
It went from 9 cents a piece to 8 cents a piece for the medium-sized quahogs, top necks. And on the chowders, it went from, I think within a few days, it went from 30 cents a pound to 25 cents a pound to 20 cents a pound. So that's like a dramatic difference.
Price is just one of several major problems facing the wild quahogging industry in Rhode Island today. The population of the fishermen is aging, and there are fewer people interested in replacing them. What's more, the falling prices aren't doing much to encourage younger people to jump in.
Like, who's to say if the price weren't a little bit better? All of my friends that are, like, underemployed, working for someone that's, like, disrespectful to them, you know, like, all that stuff. is part of the reason why I'll go through all this, you know?
Another issue is the amount of money you need before you can even think about getting into the water. You need to buy a boat. Even one the size of Russo's, between 17 and 20 feet, can set you back a few thousand dollars, money that many young people don't have readily available. So with a big upfront investment, falling prices, and frankly, a lot of hard work, why would anyone want this job?
I've had good jobs, but I'm making money for someone else. Not like benefiting myself in any way, besides devoting all my time to someone else. You know, I mean, at least now I'm devoting my time to my boat, you know? I just feel like I have the best office around. It's 5 minutes from my house. I tie up right in front of, like, probably the best spot in my whole town. And to be able to bring, like, a product back in, you know, like, go out, gather some product, bring it back in, and have, like, that be a town, you know, it's just, it makes me feel good.
Russo reviews his haul for the day. He's filled two big buckets. I'm impressed, but he says it's definitely not his best.
If it's not working, just go home and try again tomorrow.
John Bender, Rhode Island Public Radio.